SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From beautiful Belmont Park. And when I say beautiful, fold in the weather. Absolutely a glorious morning here. And the first issue I guess we have to tackle is a loose horse somewhere here on the main track. And the lights and alarm going off here. And the timing of that is a little less than auspicious because War of Will and Sir Winston literally just came on the track. I was about to send you out a picture of the two of them, and they literally had just broken off. And I'm watching here, and I see, yeah, they're going to close the gates. Here he is now. Here's your loose horse. It's a Chad Brown, and the Outrider with a tremendous pickup. Absolutely brilliant work by the Outrider to scoop this one up and escort it back to the other side. And here's a second loose horse. This is Mark Hennig. Outrider is going to try to pin him and is going to get a little. I think he got him. Did he get him? It went past the hedges, and I couldn't see the second one. But two loose horses in rapid succession to start the morning. So a little excitement, and there's a bigger quite a bit of a bigger crowd here. The good news is that the trainees of Cassie, they had probably already gotten around the first turn and started into their work. And you know, it's very hard, obviously, to see from ground level. I'm looking across the way, actually, and I think on the other side there, I think I see the escort, the pony escort that had been with War of Will. I think that is them. And so they got safely to the other side, and the lights are still flashing. So maybe that second runner, the Hennig, got away, because otherwise they would have. The lights have stopped, so the siren's still going. Anyway, we begin with a little bit of tumult, and there goes your siren as well. So now clear, and we'll watch for War of Will and Sir Winston to come around. War of Will arriving here from Kentucky and getting his first day on the track. I also saw Barkley Tag was out earlier with really after the Harrows came out with Tale of Silence as well, and saw Tax on the training track, went over, actually watched our own Carlisle Bell gallop, and Tax was finishing up his morning activities as well for Danny Gargan. Gargan actually over here now on the main track. It's a challenge. That's what makes what Dave Grenig does so impressive. That Grenig covers, not just the training track, but the main track. And here's a chance to talk to Danny Gargan. And you owe me a visit. Come sit down for 2 minutes. We tried to get you in Ocala. I've tried to reach you a few times, and perfect way to start the morning with Danny Gargan. And I saw the Chad Brown got picked up. Did they get the Hennig right away? Or?
No, he made the gap.
He did?
Yeah, but she wasn't running fast when she went off. I'm sure she'll be fine.
You can pick off a filly that easily? Or
She's a I know who she is.
Okay, there you go. All right. Well, I was just telling everybody that I went over to see Gary and to watch our own Carlisle Bell gallop, and Tax was just coming off. You went ahead yesterday, committed to the run. What was bothering you about the work?
Well, the other day, that wasn't so much the work. When he came back, he stepped on a rock, and we worked him on the main track, and he had a long walk home, and he's kind of a rambunctious. You saw him coming off the track today. He's kind of a rambunctious horse. And I think he just stepped on a rock or something, and he had a little bruise in his foot for like half. It wasn't even, it was, maybe 5 minutes, but Dave Grinning kind of walked up right when I was a little worried about the, you know, the way he walked off for a couple seconds. But, obviously we called Hunt and had him come over. And then Ian McKinley coming, we took the shoes off of him, dug it out. And it was really basically nothing, just a little stone bruise. But, for a minute, coming into one of these races, I was like, shit, what are you going to do? And it's always something in horse racing. If it was perfect every day, it'd be a lot easier. But some days you have hiccups. And he's a pretty straightforward horse, and I didn't expect any hiccups, so I was a little worried about that. And he ate up great that night, and he's ate up ever since. And you coming off the track today, he looked like $1 million. It's probably the best he's trained since the Derby today. But we did put glue-ons on him for the first time. And maybe he's been wanting those. You never know with a horse. Sometimes change like that. But Ian told me in 2 days, he said this horse is going to really start looking amazing. And he was right. His color come right back to him, and he looks good today. So we're going to enter, and if he keeps training forwardly, we're going to run.
I love it. And take us back to the Derby, because so many participants, including you, including Spinoff for Todd Pletcher, had to deal with that track. And it's so got to be really frustrating, Danny.
Well, it's partially my fault, because I grew up at Churchill, and I expected that track to be sealed when we walked back out onto the track. And we walked out there, I couldn't get to my jock. He was too far away to tell him don't get near the rail because they had it heralded. Who would have dreamed they'd have done that to the racetrack? I didn't expect that at all. Obviously the horses that were wider ran better. But everybody got stuck down in there. We got, squeezed in a start. So we got eliminated there. And then we're stuck on the dead rail the whole way. And, the rider just listened to me. But, sometimes you have to listen to the trainer. But when you know it's the worst part of the track, you got to get off of it and get out of there. But what are you going to do? It's over. We moved on. And hopefully we get a better trip here in the Belmont.
He's certainly, from a breeding standpoint, he's certainly top and bottom bred for this trip.
Right. And, we're going to be forwardly placed in this race. There's not as much speed going in this race. I wouldn't even be shocked if we're on the lead. That's my goal, is probably to be on the lead. And we'll see where, if anybody wants to really run hard early. So we're going to go out there, set a pace, and see where we end up.
How exciting and personally satisfying has this been for you this year with this horse?
It's, the last, 4 years have been satisfying. We've had, being over 20% at the, in New York for 4 years. This is the fifth year we're over 20%. Last year, I think we finished here at 24%. Our stable's firing, pretty strong at all levels. We still claim some, not as much as we used to, but we still look. There's just not as many opportunities. And, we have young horses. We have a good mix of horses, and we're just trying to do as good as we can with what we have. So it's pretty satisfying with where the stable's going. The owners, we have some really, really good owners.
Speak to that for a second, because you did something that is a challenge for a lot of horsemen that are in the upswing and getting going with an outfit, and that was you were training for Midwest and had a hatful of horses, and then they moved on, and you have to make a transition and latch on to some new people as owners. Talk about how you handled that.
I went down to 12 horses, and I was blessed, because when I, as soon as we made our separation, which we're back together and everything's fine,
I know,
great now. It wasn't the owner's fault, that situation. Racing managers sometimes make poor decisions and other people involved, but it wasn't so much me and him not getting along. It's just waste. You get a lot of people start giving advice. But when we went down to 12 horses, my phone started ringing, because I had openings, and then we started rebuilding, and we never really missed a beat. Morris Bailey stepped in, and he's been a big contributor to the stable. Randy Hill stepped in; those guys all stepped up, and we built our stable back pretty strong. I think last year was my best year ever, and now this year we're expecting to have the best year we've ever had again.
Well, and part of the success, and particularly the best horse in terms of accomplishment to date for you, and the job you've done with Divine Miss Gray has been just exceptional. And I think I mentioned to you somewhere along the line after December, that I gave her a nod and voted her third in the older filly and mare division, because I thought the campaign she had was so complete, and you challenged her with things. You weren't afraid to put her up against the heavy heads and in different settings, and she really rewarded
you. She ran all over the place.
Yeah.
I think she ran at five different tracks last year, or four. She won, what'd she win, five stakes last year?
Something
so
like
that's
that.
A pretty big year for a filly. She's pretty nice horse. She is a nice horse. She's done a lot for the stable, obviously. Mr. Hill bought her, and Lucas owns her with him. And, you know, Randy's stepped up big time. You know, he owns part of Tax and with Dean Reeves and Hugh Lynch and Corms. So, but Randy's really stepped up and supported the stable pretty strong with some nicer stock. You know, Randy likes to buy quality ready-made racehorses. And we have a partnership on a really nice two-year-old that's going to be fun for us this summer that's doing really well at Kingland. He'll probably be ready sometime at Saratoga, nice into mischief. So, you know, we're pretty blessed that we, you know, a lot of good owners are, you know, giving us opportunities. You know, West Point's given me a couple two-year-olds this year, and that was really, really good for me, you know, to get those kind of guys. Zilla's given me a baby. Michael Dubb's given me four or five horses, and I've only run two, but we have a win for him already, and that's exciting because, you know, he's the leading owner in New York every year.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're starting to, you know, branch out, and it's exciting and fun to, you know, get the support from a lot of different owners and not have one person with all your horses in one basket. But, you know, you have to go back and thank the guys that helped you get where you are. And, you know, Midwest helped me. Morris Bailey did a lot for me. And, you know, guys like that are the reason we're where we are today.
You know, I got a note. Well, and got a note that you've got some horses still in Kentucky. I saw where the other day you had a win at Indiana.
Yes.
That Passport to Chaos.
Right. That's Michael Dubb's horse.
Explain what you're doing and how you're breaking them up.
Well, we went to basically there's a handful of racehorses in Kentucky. It's mainly babies. That track's a really good place. It's a great place to train two-year-olds. So we mainly have a lot of two-year-olds there because workman's comp's obviously a lot mm-hmm. cheaper and everything's cheaper. So we're getting, you know, I think I had eight babies work at Kingland this morning. So we're training babies there the next couple of days and breezing them the next couple of days, a bunch of them. But, you know, there are a handful of racehorses. I think I enter Silver Kitten. She was second on Derby Day in a maiden race. She's getting entered today. I have a nice Kitten's Joy that I'm entering tomorrow, heirloom kitten for Ken Ramsey. He ran fourth on Derby Day in the mud, but he's going to be a really nice horse down the road. So, you know, there's a handful of racehorses there. I think we have about eight, and the rest are two-year-olds. So we had 20, well, we have 26 there, and like eight race older horses, and the rest are babies.
Interesting. It's a quieter atmosphere, and
well, and it's that track is just tremendous. I mean, it's amazing the job they do with the surface there. I mean, I could not imagine having a better place, a more calm, relaxing place to train young horses. They're so mentally good there. Asmussen had a great year out of there last year. I got to watch him run at Saratoga, and that's when I decided I was going to have to branch there with, you know, the two-year-olds, and I think it's going to be a big asset for my two-year-old development this year by going to Kingland. The facility is, like I said, amazing. They take care of the track amazing. The people are, you know, it's just a great place to have horses, and it's a great environment.
I have to ask an important question. You talked about Randy Hill, and, of course, we had Randy on leading into Derby, his excitement and the pleasure of you know, his long association with the game and having both Vekoma and Tax in the Derby starting gate. The key question, though, is who has to keep up with who after hours? Does he keep up with you, or are you keeping up with him?
I can't keep up with Randy. You know, Randy's a lot of fun. Me and, you know, people obviously know with me and Randy, we're a lot alike. We like to have a lot of fun. Uh-huh. We want to enjoy ourselves. And, you know, just going in the Derby, he said, Danny, wherever we run, we're here. Just go out and have fun and let's enjoy it. He had several parties for us, so it was a really fun week. And, you know, Dean was there, and Dean's a lot of fun, too. He, you know, he can't keep up with Randy. No one can.
No.
But he's real laid back, and it was a lot of fun. You know, it's a good partnership. Everybody in the partnership had fun that week. Lucas was there, and it was just a real good week for everybody.
What do you got coming up for entry today for Saturday?
I think I just have Tax.
Okay.
Saturday. I have to go back and look through it again, but I've got a couple at Churchill for Saturday. But I think just here Tax. You know, Derby Day we ran a couple maidens, but this, you know, I think we just have the one horse today, and that'll be fun just to run the one horse in a big race.
Exactly.
You can really enjoy the race.
No doubt. For you to do what you've done, it's really, I thought, noteworthy. I want to talk about Divine Miss Gray a little bit and how you handled, you know, the opportunity with her and you know, how you, you know, more or less, you know, get her to the competitive level that she reached. And I
she kind of took herself there.
Yeah?
You know, she's a really nice filly, and she trained, you know, we got lucky to, you know, obviously get and, you know, claim her. Locust did. And then, we weren't really looking to sell her. She was, you know, because we really liked her. And then Dean Reeves called me first, actually, before Randy. And him and Randy were inquiring and buying another filly that I claimed. And I said, you know, she's okay. I said, but if y'all want to buy a good horse, why don't you buy Divine Miss Gray? And then Dean decided not to. And then Randy called me back and said he wanted to buy half of her. And that's when I started training for Randy. And long story short, it's just we've just meshed and things have just, you know, I think I've won 7 stake races for him in maybe a year and 3 months. So, I mean, it's a crazy run we're on. It's a lot of fun. But he's really, really good to me, you know. And he's really understanding. He doesn't pressure you. He wants to, you know, wants the horse to always be in the right spot at the right time. And he doesn't ask you, what about this race? What about that? And, you know, last year we ran Divine a lot. This year we're not obviously going to run her as much. We want to get her over the $1 million mark. Randy wants to breed her, which that'll be a lot of fun. So, yeah, so she's kind of done everything we've asked of her. I really don't know where her next race is going to be. I was looking at her today and talking to my assistant, you know, Orlando. He rides her, and she's really just now got back to where she's really good again. So we'll start. I'll pick out something here in the next few weeks, and we'll breeze her a couple times and run her. She's really easy to keep fit. You don't have to do much with her, and she loves to run fresh too. So, you know, I thought maybe Churchill the other day going down there. She kind of got a little sick after the race. I think maybe she would have was a little sick going in, but. You know, you look back and, as you know, she didn't really fire. She wasn't on the bridle early, but I'm real happy with where she is right now.
Well, Ballerina, the summer goal?
Well, I don't know where the summer goal will be. I'm particularly not, she doesn't really like Saratoga to train up there. So I don't know if she does, she'll train here.
Interesting.
And then ship up and run.
Nice.
But she could run on the Ballerina.
I got to ask you about one other filly, too. You mentioned Morris Bailey, and you're having a terrific run with Amazing Audrey.
Yeah, she ran really good.
She ran really nice at Churchill.
Yeah, she ran really, really nice at Churchill. We claimed her last year at Saratoga. She's done really well for us, and we're really pleased with where she's at. And, she's doing well. I think she's going to breeze in tomorrow, the next day at Kingland, and then she'll run over in Kentucky. But she's been a really nice filly for us. And then we have a really young filly for John O'Hara, named Avelina. She's 3 out of 4. She won the Philadelphia Oaks the other day, pretty impressive. And she's a pretty nice filly. She won impressive first time out, and then she was second. It really wasn't her fault. And then she came back and won, and then she won the Philadelphia Oaks the other day, pretty nice. She's probably our best 3-year-old right now.
How did I miss that?
I think she won about 8.75.
Which, not the Penn Oaks, the
at Parks.
Oh, they had. That's right. They had the Parks Derby and the Park Oaks
two weeks ago. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she won by I think 8.75. Kendrick went over and rode her.
Nice.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, and there was the boys race. The boys, I have that somewhere actually, and I've been carrying that around because we never got to it last week. There was like a $75,000, stake.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, we'll keep it up. So you're going to try her in a little heavier company.
Might go to the Delaware Oaks.
There you go. Here it is.
Yeah.
There we go. Jesus, Avelina, Tale of a Cotty, 82 buyer.
Yeah.
Nice.
She ran 80 the time before. Yeah.
Right.
She won by 13 first time out. Then she was second, got beat ahead. And then she won by 7 and change. And then she won by 8 and change.
Very nice. And D. Curry won the boys race the next day with Bethlehem Road. And that's a nice story as well. Well, Danny, I owed you a visit for months. And so it's great to get you and, you know, hit some highlights. Obviously, you know, delighted for all the success. I mean, you really, it's a nice story and keeps getting better. Tax comes back in the Belmont and take it from there. Nice to have a high-level three-year-old, and we'll watch, of course, for Divine Miss Gray and these up-and-comers.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're the best. All right. Danny Karkin. All right, he's got the phone ringing. He's got things going on. We'll let Danny go. We're going to head to our break, too. Let's do that. And fun to get a chance to talk to Danny, who we saw at Ocala. And I wanted to get him on then and talk about Divine Miss Gray and more. So that was opportune. Everything seemed to go swimmingly out in front of us. We saw Sir Winston come around and wore Will, as well as Barkley's runner. I didn't see anybody else in the saddle cloths that they provide for the Belmont horses. They're tan, and they're not as flashy as the fluorescence at Churchill for the Derby horses. So a little bit harder to spot. There's a Siaka that looks like Wicked Macho, if I'm gonna make a guess. Yeah, big, nice gray. We're going to talk to Mark Cassie. Probably, I'm going to text him. He wanted to walk back. He wanted to walk back with the horses. So he'll come back over, and we'll sit down with Cassie about the other Penn stake winner, his Penn winner, Moon Colony, the Uncle Mo that upset the rich Grade Two at Penn National, and everything else that's gone on. The Cassie Barn, really a juggernaut right now. A couple of pieces of news, given that I didn't expect to have the impromptu Gargan stopover, but yesterday, a very smooth Bree show at Santa Anita. They're going to sell tomorrow. They'll be inspecting today. They had a very strong turnout for the Bree show with, you know, pretty much everybody that you would want. And, you know, given this new sales landscape with, you know, the end of Barrett's run, you know, having the sale come right to Santa Anita and, you know, basically deliver itself right into the wheelhouse of the horsemen. So, very smooth, it looked like. I think some people obviously had, you know, had concern. They got to be a little concerned going into that, but it went without incident. And a couple of notable performances. You had a Bernardini filly lead the parade going short. Raul Reyes, King's Equine, 10-1. And, you know, that track is nice and slow and heavy, and that's a sharp breeze. And Tom McCrocklin had a horse that he's really high on. Reyes high on his Bernardini filly, and McCrocklin with a Tapiture Colt, 21-1 for the quarter. So those are your leading breezers. We'll talk more about the sale. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come right back. We're live at Belmont.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. A triple crown for the ages wraps up with the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 8th. And no matter who you're betting in the Belmont, your best bet is with ExpressBet.
ExpressBet's world-famous Belmont Stakes Wager Guide is available Friday, May 31st. It features analysis, insights, and picks from handicappers like Millie Ball, Steve Bick, and Jeff Siegel. Plus, cash in on ExpressBet's promotions, including a money-back guarantee on the Belmont Stakes and a 10% exacta bonus on Gold Cup Friday. And if you don't have an ExpressBet account yet, now is the perfect time to get started. New customers who sign up before the Belmont get up to a $500 welcome bonus. Your best bet is with ExpressBet. Visit ExpressBet.com to learn more. And remember to join ExpressBet on Saturday, June 8th to watch and bet the Belmont Stakes. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse offers the year-round excitement of live thoroughbred racing and full card simulcasting from tracks across the country. Check out hcpn.com for the latest racing calendar, wagering information, daily entries, and results. All you need to enjoy your day at the races. June 1st will be the biggest day ever at Penn National, highlighted by the $500,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile. First post, 2:45 p.m.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. It won't stop. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. I cry so hard, teardrops on my. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. Got no brain. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. The girl's insane. She took my heart. Tears rolling down my drain. Just like rain. Tell you about it. My buddy come to see me to give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend. I tell you I'm hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Shut your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said
we're back at the races. 25 plus into hour one. And Danny Gargan stopping by and getting caught up on tax and his try in the Belmont. And got the specifics about the little bruise. And I know, I think Dave Grenig reported about it yesterday too, and you know it was Grenig, as he said, you know, he ran into Grenig right when right when he was concerned about whatever had happened. But you know, I'll talk tomorrow certainly to Sid when we do a little of the pedigree action, and you know, we didn't talk about it much with Danny, but you know, an arch out of the Giants Causeway mare Toll. I know that. Go back to one of the Belmont, one of the Aqueduct Stakes, and we talked about, you know, the Claiborne family that was involved here with Tax, and you know, he certainly should, you know, take to the distance, and you know, he's been close, but that was notable. I think depending on today's draw, see how. You know, how quickly, you know, and Rat Ortiz picked up the mount, if you had not heard that. So we'll see how quickly Ortiz decides, you know, to go or to sit, because Jovia, obviously the contender from Greg Sacco, and let's, you know, say honestly, I mean, obviously the longest shot expected on the board. So we'll see how the two of them line up and what that does, because Pace, as Danny said, you know, there's not anybody that is hell-bent speed-wise. Jovia, the candidate on that front. The draw, if you want to watch the draw today, you can at 5:30. It'll come from Citi Field before the Mets-Giants game. And as we talked yesterday, Johnny D coming up with Gail, and he's going to accept John White's Joe Hirsch Award from NYRA, and there'll be post draw after the pills are pulled. There'll be the Q&A, which was so much fun last year, and of course having Lucas last year as well as Todd Pletcher and Dale Romans. Pletcher and Romans obviously are back, and I think I did see what, if I'm not mistaken, I think I did see that. I did see who was, who did I see was going to be? Dale? Oh, Mark Cassie, Dale, Todd Pletcher, and I don't think it was Mott. So, Dale Pletcher and I don't know if Danny, it might be Gargan. Well, Gargan or Mott, I suppose. But those functions are not Bill Mott doesn't relish those kinds of settings. So, maybe it is Gargan as the fourth. 5:30 BelmontStakes.com for the stream. And you know, last year it really was a lot of fun. Dale was giving Andy the business. Everybody loves that. And we're going to talk to Andy here in the next 45 minutes or so. I mentioned Mark Cassie coming over as well. We've got to do some Presque Isle later, and Indiana Grand. We got a couple of quick race previews. Dick Powell and Bill Downs, and Bill, looking forward to congratulating him. He had the opportunity the other day to call the race that was named in honor of his father. And he came up, John Dooley and the Arlington staff had Bill up to call the race, which really was a nice gesture. So we're looking forward to talking to Bill. We'll get Jeremy Plonk in later as well. And Nick Zito is, if we don't have Nick today, we'll have him tomorrow, okay? Because Nick was going to stop by as well. I'm a little surprised. And also, I was hoping that I was going to get Shug in this little window here, but he ended up not coming over. He was going to have a handful of workers here on the main track. So we're going to catch up with Shug soon. Talk to him on Sunday here and had some fun. Shug is going to be, I would think, from this point on, and he already has been, you know, because of the 30th anniversary of the three-year-old season of 1989, you know, Shug has been, as well as the Hancocks, have been, you know, very much featured along the Triple Crown season as Sunday Silence and Easy Goer are invoked. And I've told you many times, I mean, Easy Goer was a favorite. I was just getting heavily interested in racing at the time. And we're going to celebrate this summer with Shug the Captain Gala in July at the Saratoga City Center. I was you know, really honored and delighted to have been asked last year to do some MC duties and asked back for this year. And July 25th, and I think some of the materials are being prepared by the captain family. And when they asked about, who might be a good honoree, it occurred to me that the Saratoga summer of 89, the summer of easygoer, would be a really ideal honoree with Shug and Allison. And I really cannot wait for this. It's July 25th and very much open to the public. Fundraiser, Captain Family and Children's Services in the Capital District. And they do a lot of good. I mean, just a wonderful organization that helps particularly teens in difficult situations, all kinds. And we're going to honor Shug, and I might do some things a little differently. I want to have like a kind of a Q&A with him about that summer when easygoer, who was always going to make the Travers the late summer goal, but his participation in the Whitney created a double that we really may not see again. I mean, what's the chances of in this era of somebody running a 3-year-old, at the beginning of the meet against Elders and then coming back again in the Travers. So we're gonna really have some fun with that. And July 25th, if you're going to be in and around Saratoga. And, of course, the meet will already – usually it's the first full week of the meet. This year it'll be the second full week, and we'll be into week three at that point. Saratoga opens July 11th on that Thursday. So it's coming faster than obviously faster than usual. A couple of things. Let me get a few other news and notes in that I didn't get to yesterday. We basically broke running yesterday, and on that international front, I probably can touch on. I'll touch on it with Dick. But that Derby win for Anthony Van Dyke, it gave Simi Heffernan his first Derby. So that was a nice part of the story. And, of course, O'Brien. Heffernan had ridden in 11 previous. And, of course, has been tied on with the O'Brien team for a number of years. One story that has not gotten as much attention on the international front was the French Derby. And Peter Brandt, who, of course, has come back to the game in a huge way and really an unplanned reintroduction to the sport. It was not – when Peter Brandt, came back in, he thought he might – had dabbled with a few, a couple of horses, and here he is, just bigger than ever before in terms of his participation. Sotas is not just a nice win, but it's a for Peter Brandt, who's had his share over the years, and this is something we can touch on. In fact, also with Sid tomorrow. 13-1 winner at Chanty on Sunday. So, Peter Brandt, I guess I could tell this story a little bit. When Peter Brandt, thought to come back and run a little bit and get some horses again, when he reached out to Chad Brown to train, he said, I'm not going to you know, get as big as and be as involved as I used to be. But, you know, if you didn't mind having an owner, you know, with two or three, you know, horses, I'd be interested in sending you some. and look at what's happened. It's really an amazing story that, he's got, I can't even estimate how many horses right now Peter Brand has accumulated, and of course is involved in the purchase of Payson Park. So, he's back in the game in a big way. You heard the reference yesterday as well, news-wise from the weekend. The upset of Almond Eye, and there's a couple things that, you know, seemingly went amiss. Apparently she didn't. She was a little unnerved, apparently, coming into it to start with, and then she had tremendous traffic. So that opened the door for Indy Champ to win, the Asuda Kinnon, and that's a Breeders' Cup win and you're in. So Almond Eye will have to regroup. I mentioned Sid, and I told you last week that his piece about in TDN, his taking stock piece, was just absolutely a must-read. And Ben Walden kind of came back and added a coda to that. He wrote a letter to the editor of TDN, if you haven't seen it, and Walden really lauded Sid for, you know, really just cutting through the, you know, the negativity and the rancor and just, you know, stating some facts about, you know, horses and EIPH. And, you know, Ben Walden made a couple of salient points about, you know, the smaller operators whose voices aren't being heard in the discussion, and even some more prominent voices that are kind of keeping to the sidelines, even though they, you know, they are advocates for, you know, the continued use of Lasix. Be sure to read Ben Walden's letter, and if you haven't read Sid's full piece, and I'll let him riff on it a little bit again tomorrow when we visit. Told you about the sale, and of course, 120 hips and before outs, but 120 went through the paces yesterday. So there were some gallopers too. They had not everybody breezed. Also yesterday, in terms of racing, congratulations to Paul Barrow. I mentioned to you as we were leaving the Finger Lakes Stake yesterday, the George Barker. And Barrow runs 1-2, and he beat some downstate invaders. Really quite a nice thing for Barrow, and to win the Barker like that and run the exacta. And the winner was the longest shot on the board. Bavaro for Linda Rice went off at a very short price, and I think 4-5, and got and really, you know, didn't necessarily. I'm just trying to find. I had printed everything out. Now I can't. I got too many PPs. There we go. PJ Advantage, a posse gelding, a 4-year-old, and one clear under Vergara at 16-1, longest price on the board. And the invaders between Maya Engelhart with Avinu Malcano for our friend Al Gold, and you know, Rudy as well. Sudden Surprise. So it was the local strength, and Barrow actually owns that horse that won PJ Advantage. Henry Stedman the owner of Saratoga Giro that was second. So congratulations. Well done, Paul Barrow. There's a nice stake, we should know, too, tomorrow at Delaware. Same kind of thing, 50,000. This is for three-year-old fillies, the lighthearted, and this leads into the Delaware Oaks. This is a nice field, group of nine, including Graham Motion with Remarkable Soul, and how about Gary Capuano, Pat's No Fool, Our Super Freak in here, from Jamie Ness, and Our Super Freak has had the bad luck of having to face Las Setas, the Voss filly, so she gets free of that one. 6-1 on Our Super Freak. Fashion Faux Pas for Arnaud Delacour. Probably 4-1, but could be tough. And Tom Albertrani has got a cross entry, Nonsensical, the Godolphin homebred, but she's also potentially going to run in the better roses. So we'll see. We'll see what, not the better roses. I take that back. Something else, I think. I know she, I saw her in the entries for Thursday, Thursday or Friday. So I wanted to slip that in as well. All right. And we went through Illinois. We got the Illinois news done. Oh, one story that I've been kind of downplaying and avoiding the whole maximum security legalities with Gary West. But on Friday, the West's attorney filed or suggested to the KHRC that they consider declaring both Country House and maximum security as winners. So it's I don't see how anything is going to. Is going to be changed here, but it just feels like a torturous tilting of windmills. Meanwhile, the horse himself, Maximum Security, is doing well, and it seems that Jason Service more and more satisfied with the way he's coming back out of Derby, and he's seemingly headed, it would appear, for a prep for the Haskell in the Pegasus. That comes in 2 weeks, June 16th. Hasn't decided officially whether he'll prep, if he thinks he needs the prep, or if he'll train right up to the Haskell. But it sure feels when you see and hear Jason Service about Maximum Security, it really, you sense that he's going to give him that prep. I'm kind of speculating, but it sure feels like he's confident about where he is. So there you go. You know, one story too, and I didn't mention this to Jay Privman the other day. On Friday when Jay was with us, but I did want to note it. David Cross, at 84, died last Wednesday evening at Chandler Hospital in Lexington. He had he'd been in rough shape, and of course trained Sonny Zalo to the Derby win in 83. I wanted to make sure to mention. In addition, and we'll find someone appropriate. I'm sure somebody will come by here that we could talk about the passing I saw yesterday that Speck Alexander, the longtime starter at Keeneland, and it brought out a flood of tributes from horsemen. So there's some headlines, gets us caught up, and I think we can start to turn our attention toward everything that's going to happen here from 5:30 this afternoon over at Citi Field, the Belmont draw, and the rest of the card will be drawn normally in the racing office. I'll see if we can't see if they're going to put out an overnight without the Belmont, like they did it, like they have done for years at Pimlico. And I think last year, actually, I think they did do that. I think they did go ahead and file the overnight with Equibase so that we can get a handle on the other stakes and the rest of Saturday's card ahead of the Belmont draw. Let's take a break here. Andy Serling coming up, speaking of looking forward to the racing action that picks up on Thursday. And if you haven't looked yet, it looks like we might get, you know, late tomorrow and into Thursday some rain. But after that, it's free and clear, and it's going to be gorgeous like it is right now for Friday and Saturday. So it might get a little bit of affected on Thursday. We'll see. But beyond that, it's going to be tremendous weather-wise. That's good news. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're live at Belmont. Things are getting quieter again. And we'll go to the phones. Andy Serling, Mark Hassey will stop by as well, and much more. Stay with us.